你爱。 I used to wonder what friendship could be until you all shared its magic with me. Big adventure,
tons of fun,
a beautiful heart, faithful and strong,
sharing kindness,
it's an easy feat, and magic makes it all complete. You have my
Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 41. At least I hope it's 41. I'm not actually checking this week.
Yeah, because it was our sort of midlife crisis last week.
Oh, yes, yes. And now that we hit 41, the big 41, the age where you get to be 41 again. I don't know what you do at 41. So joining me this week, we have Daniel.
Hello.
Who's super excited, and we'll get to why in a little bit. And we have Adrian.
How's it going, guys?
Who's a little pissed off because apparently he's getting his butt kicked in Marvel Capcom 3. So, you know, it will balance itself out. As we tend to do, depending on how the week works out, we're changing the format a bit differently this week. And instead of doing what we've been saying first, we actually are going to start with the 3DS price cut because I honestly feel that's going to be the bulk of this podcast. And then we're going to go into what we've been saying and finish off with the rest of the news for the week.
All right, that's fair enough.
So,
sounds like a plan.
So yes, as I said, we're going to start with the 3DS price cut. I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday that Nintendo officially announced that they're cutting the price of the 3DS. I think 33% or 32%, depending on how you work it out. In the States, that means it's going from $250 to $170 starting August 12th. And if you are an early adopter or a person who's already bought a 3DS or buys it within the next 2 weeks, you'll be eligible for 20 free Game Boy and Nintendo games starting in September of this year.
Wait, before we clear this up, you get 20, not you can choose from 20, right?
Yeah,
I've seen people say you can choose from 20, and I've seen people say you get 20. At least, wow, that's actually quite a large number of free games, even if it is NES and Game Boy games.
I never really was interested in it, but that's a pretty sweet deal to be an early adopter, I have to admit. Most people get screwed over.
Well, there are issues that do arise with that, and the main issue is that I don't know about you, but I buy a new console to play new games on the new console, designed for the new console, that take advantage of the new console's features instead of old games.
Yeah, it's like the games that they're giving you a selection of are from like a back catalog of basically all the old N64 and NES and like old Nintendo titles, right?
It's Nintendo games and Game Boy Advance games. There's no real mixture. It's games like Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda, baseball and stuff like that. So for the Nintendo stuff, it's stuff you could already get on the virtual console for the most part. The more interesting stuff, at least to me, is the Game Boy Advance stuff. One, because there's no official confirmation that the 3DS virtual store supports Game Boy Advance games yet. So this is like the first set of them, and even in Nintendo's press release, they are not acknowledging, they are saying that, you know, they aren't gonna sell them separately as of this moment. Well, they won't announce it yet. So it's the only way to get certain Game Boy Advance games for the immediate future. And some of the games do intrigue me. Like I'm not a huge handheld gamer. I usually play the random Pokemon game here and way too much Tetris. So stuff like Metroid Fusion and Super Mario Kart, Super Circuit, and I think they have Yoshi's Island, which is a Super Nintendo's game, but I assume it's the Super Mario Advance line. So stuff like that, you know, is intriguing. What I've seen a lot of people suggest, and, you know, your miles may vary, as they say, is that you can buy the 3DS for like $250 now, and most stores are protected. I think it's up to 30 days for the consumer. If there's a price drop, you can have it price match and get a refund on that amount.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Amazon does something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, if you want to risk it, if you really want those 20 free games, you can buy it in 3DS now and get in a price match in 2 weeks.
Aw, yeah, cheating the system.
But yeah, initial thoughts on the 3DS price drop.
I don't think it'll shift any more units.
It's not. No one cares. Like you said, Juanil, it's basically, there's no games out right now that are really taking advantage of the hardware. You know, it's just a bunch of rehashes of stuff that we've seen before. And as cool as Ocarina of Time 3D is, it's like, come on.
Nintendo are basically saying, right, so we know that the 3DS has got nothing but ports on it at the moment. So here are more ports of more games.
Flood it with shovelware, basically, is what they're doing.
That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, like, okay, we might have priced this too high. For the people who bought it early, here's the compensation.
It's not, the price wasn't an issue. The fact was it had no games on it.
No, I'm not saying that I still think the games are a huge issue. But I think a lot of people saw it for $250. And I've said this before, I've always thought that $175 is the sweet spot for a handheld. Because then it becomes the price where a parent might look at it and say, oh, I can pick this up for a little one. And it's not a big deal. $250, you're looking at competition with the 360, the PS3, the Wii.
I don't know about you, but honestly, from my perspective, I'm not that big of a handheld gamer. But had it just had the few killer games on it, even if there were new games that I couldn't have just name out in my head, if it had the killer games, then I would have probably even considering buying a 3DS at the current price point, you know, and it doesn't even have those killer games. You know, I don't
really know what killer games they could deliver on. I mean, it's a cool idea, like, but I really, as someone who's never really been a big fan of 3D, to me it's just a Nintendo DS with some, you know, really cool gimmicky features. That's not really very enticing to me.
I think that's always been the biggest hurdle, is that 3D for a lot of people isn't that big of a, like, a lot of people, you know, kind of get caught up in the dust of it at first, and it's the same thing that happens with movies. It's like, oh, it's a 3D movie, I'll check it out because it's cool, and then you kind of see one or two and then it's not that big of a deal. And I think that's kind of the same issue with the 3DS. I always thought that the 3D wouldn't have been a huge selling point to it. I actually think some of the other features they have, if they incorporated it, would have been better or more in, like, Street Pass and Spot Pass, where you kind of focus on, like, the social aspect of the system.
But no one else has it, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But,
I mean
it sucks, because that's a really great feature. And, like, they had, like, I think one of the things that was really cool about the 3DS coming out of E3 is they were announcing feature sets. And feature sets, you know, make you get excited for the hardware. But I think what Sony did a lot better with the PSP Vita was they were like, here's all of our, you know, we're showing new ways to play old games. And if they were to do that with, you know, Ocarina of Time and Mercenaries and things like that, I think people would have responded to that a lot more positively than we saw the initial sales, you know, results come in. And it wasn't very impressive because of the fact that they're delivering old experiences on new hardware, as opposed to what the Vita is doing, is delivering new experiences with old software. And I think that when you have that familiarity from the old games and you bring it into a new kind of, oh, I can play this on the go? Oh, you mean I can continue my game that I was, you know, playing on my home console? That's way cooler to me than someone saying, oh, but you can play Zelda in, you know, 3D. Like, that's not really that impressive.
See, I don't find that impressive at all. And again, this is me. And I feel that the average consumer won't care that, oh, I can play Call of Duty on the PS3. Oh, I can pause it and play it on the PSV. Is anybody,
talking about how the Vita's got multiple control schemes, right? Very different inputs, and how you can play, say, for whatever the Uncharted game's called, and you can...
Golden Abyss.
Yeah, Golden Abyss, how you can play that however you want, be it with the touchpad on the back, be it with the touchscreen, or be it with the gyroscopes in it, be it with just the controls.
Yeah, I think a better example of what I was trying to say would be when they have Mod Nation Racers on there, and then he's, like, terraforming these racetracks with the back, you know, the back touchpad. And, I mean, as somebody who loved, like, map design and things like that, I think that, like, I love Forge and Halo. And I saw that, and I was like, that is like, a really tactile way of giving players more control and using the hardware in a way that makes sense. But I don't see that with a 3DS in any capacity. So, I mean...
And I won't disagree with you, and I think that's going to... I think the 3DS will do well this year, because, as you said, there are no major software, but at the end of the, by the end of the year, you'll have Mario, Mario Kart, Kid Icarus. I think Kid Icarus is this year.
Yeah, Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Baseball.
Yeah, I get the notion that it's all Mario-centric, but the idea is, at the end of the year, they'll have strong enough software. The problem is, as strong... I love Mario games, I do. But as strong as the Mario brand is, and it is a huge brand, is that it's going to kind of cater to the same audience that kind of bought the GameCube and the Wii. And they kind of need that Brain Age, that Nintendogs, that, you know, Phoenix Wright, that Professor Layton, that type of game that appeals to...
It's a bit more grainy game.
The type of game that appeals to just more than the normal gamer. But the type of game that has a mass market appeal, I guess. Go on.
Oh, I do think, though, that a lot of those games are going to be appealing to the people that bought the 3DS at launch, because those are the really hardcore Nintendo fans. Those are the guys that are like, okay, I'm going to get this, you know, day one, and I know that Nintendo is going to give me that Mario that I want, that Kid Icarus that I want, all that stuff. So, again, I don't think that it's going to be bringing in too many additional adopters. I think that maybe the price cut will eventually make people say, oh, it's got Mario on it and it's 3D, cool, and they'll buy into that hype. But as of now, I don't think that the price cut itself will do much. But when that other software drops later in the year, like you said, maybe that's when the transition will begin to happen. But I really think that it's just going to be pleasing that core audience that bought the console, like, in the beginning.
See, I don't, because, and again, this goes back to appeal, is that Mario kind of caters to that, you know, that family dynamic, and I don't think a kid asks for a system without a game they want to play.
That's true, yeah.
I think, especially when you hit, it's coming out in November, as they announced, so it's going to hit around Christmas time, you're going to have those kids begging their mom for the new, you know, the new Mario, or the new Mario Kart, or the new Pokemon game, even if it's not an official...
I'll be begging my mom for the new Pokemon game. Don't talk about the kids. I will be begging for that shit.
So, yeah, and that's kind of the thing. There are people that, you know, there are early adopters. There's always early adopters who buy a system way before anything comes out. But even still, you kind of get those. One of my best friends bought his 360 for Halo 3 way before it came out. But you still saw, like, a 50% bump when Halo 3 came out.
I know someone who bought a PS3 for GT5.
And that just came out. So, yeah, I think there is a core demographic that you always get those early adopters, those technophiles who want everything. And that's always going to be there. But I think the 3DS's main market is always going to be families. And I don't think that's something people don't buy consoles in March, April, because it's not the time of the year you have that expendable money. You might get it in March when you get your tax returns. But other than that, the summer season is usually show in general for game sales.
Which is ridiculous. I don't know why, because this is the one time of the year that I'm just like, I have nothing to do. I want a really good video game to play. And of course, you know, everybody's trying to rush into the holiday season and trying to get those extra sales. But I almost feel like, you know, the summer of arcade games do really well, you know, on top of the fact that they're, you know, pretty quality games. But I think it's because people are like, I want a new game. I really want something to play. And it's like, hey, $15, I'll drop that. I'll, you know, play this game for 8-10 hours, you know, whatever. And I think that's, if more people, like, released, their main titles, you know, maybe near the end, the tail end, like August, you know, I think that would be really, really just a good idea, because you're gonna kind of, you're missing the holiday rush. So people are like, oh, I have this game to tide me over until, you know, my Call of Duty fix or my Skyrim fix or whatever. But
and that happened. I mean, Batman Arkham Asylum released at the end of August. Deus Ex releases at the end of August this year. Last year we had, what was it, Mafia and Kane and Lynch came out in August.
Kane and Lynch.
Yeah, don't mention that.
I'm not going to say they're all quite again, but there are companies who kind of take that end of August, will kind of hit, you know, people just before the holiday begins. I assume the thinking is that a lot of people don't like to spend time indoors during the summer because it's so warm. You either go to the beach or you go on family vacations, or there's a lot of movies that come out, so people go there and it's air conditioned and stuff like that. So, you know, competing with a lot more during the summer than just other video games. You're competing with the summer blockbusters. You're competing with family vacations and
social lives. Ugh, no, I'm just kidding.
So yeah, I think that's always been the thinking, even though we've seen
even though it's again. wrong. It's completely video. People who sit there and buy a lot of video games don't have social lives, probably sometimes by choice, right? And you know, I have a social life, and you know, I still spend a lot of time sitting at home playing video games, and I'd have loved for something else to come out during the summer, but I got nothing.
But I think what Earl is trying to say is I agree that, you know, the mainstream, I guess, like gamers are going to be gamers at all hours of the day, well, all months of the year, you know.
There are exceptions. Activision could easily move Call of Duty easily.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And they would probably sell just as many units, if not more, because there's nothing else to play. And everybody's like, oh, should I buy Battlefield or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3? Oh, wait a minute. Battlefield's not even out yet. Let me just pick up Modern Warfare 3 and get my fix. You know,
I get it. It goes back to, like I was saying before with the 3DS, is the fact that a lot of the sales are dictated around that Christmas time, because that's when people have their disposable income, and people kind of want that new experience, and it's kind of like, oh, what's the newest game on the shelf? And it's easier for people to give gifts like that, because it's like, oh, he or she doesn't have this already, because it's just out. And I think that's the thinking, where it's like, you know, if you were to buy a game for a gamer, would you buy him something that's 2 years old, that at some point he might have picked up for himself? Day or something like that. And again, I go shopping with my mom for Christmas with my older brother at times, and I know how it goes. It's like, do they have this game? I don't know. Because parents don't keep track of this stuff.
They need to. We need to have like a little like whiteboard on every parent's refrigerator and just be like, games I've bought this year.
Yeah, but it's true. And I go to GameStop during the holiday season, and you'll find, like, I've helped parents. They come like, I want a Mario game for my son. Like, which ones does he have? I don't know. It's Mario and this thing, and then you think, like, I had one who wanted to buy their kids, like, Paper Mario, and I'm like, that's kind of more of an RPG than it's, like, a traditional Mario game. So, you know, like, what does your son like about Mario and stuff like that? And you kind of get those type of parents, like, you know, I've had, you know, and again, I don't work in these things, but I like to help people out, because sometimes store employees are awful people who just don't have the time or patience for people who ask these many questions. So I've had people, you know, like, ask about Need for Speed and, like, the different races and stuff like that. And it's overwhelming for a lot of people because, I mean, for us, we all kind of have an idea of what we want this year. Like, you can probably all rattle off, like, a dozen games you're interested in this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And that's for people who kind of focus on it and pay attention to it all. But you go into a video game store, and there's literally hundreds of games. And 90% you don't know
of them are bad.
And that's the thing. You don't know what's good and what's bad. I mean, granted, you can do reviews, but sometimes reviews, you know, don't always work out in your favor. A classic example or a recent example would be Just Dance, which is a game that reviewed poorly, but it's one of the best-selling franchises this generation.
Why? Lady Gaga? Why? I bet, like, wait, who? There was one celebrity that really pushed it, and I'm not sure. Who?
It has to be Lady Gaga, because that's the name of her. Isn't that it's Just Dance? It's her song,
yeah, I think it might have been Gaga, or it might have been Britney Spears. But one of the, you know, big pop divas was just totally used the name to leverage it. And now all I hear, every time I go to a party and there's, like, you know, some girls there, and they'll be like, oh my god, do you play games? Like, do you play Just Dance? I'm like, no, that's not a game. Like, that's like Dance Central, like the dumbed down version. But I don't say that. I'm like, oh yeah, totally. You know?
But it is a game, and that's I think that's always been the problem with the quote unquote hardcore gamers, is that they're so quick to kind of, you know, this
judgment.
Is a game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to condemn a game. But at the end of the day, if somebody's having fun with it, it doesn't matter if they, oh, you know what, there's no high score, there's no achievements in it. They're having fun with it. That's all the company needs to
do. Oh,
provide.
Yeah. I agree. But the problem, I guess, with the big thing for me, like, as a, I'm a hardcore gamer, and I would definitely consider myself that. What drives me nuts is when people, I don't know if anybody else has the same thing, but when people call themselves gamers and they only buy Madden every year, or they only buy Call of Duty every year, and I'm like, you are missing out on about some of the best experiences that gaming has to offer. You know, I know people that are just like, oh, Mass Effect is terrible because it doesn't have multiplayer. And I'm just thinking, just because it's not made for you doesn't mean it's a bad game. And just because it doesn't give you 150 hours, you know, 200 hours of entertainment doesn't mean it's a bad game. And I see this happening more and more and more, especially with, like, the price of games increasing. And that, to me, as a hardcore gamer, is what bugs me the most, because I've had, you know, some really emotional experiences with games that, you know, like Final Fantasy X. I know Wanyo's like, whatever, but, you know, Final Fantasy X was like a really, that, every time I hear the music to that game, or I just have like nostalgia come up. And like, it's amazing to me that people just completely put on the blinders and be like, Call of Duty, Madden, every year I'm a gamer. And that just drives me nuts.
Hey, I take offense to that. I'm not a fan of Final Fantasy games, but I really liked Final Fantasy X.
Oh, fuck yeah, that was a great game. God.
Be quiet, you.
And that's kind of been something, it's an attitude I've never liked in general. I've had this discussion both ways. I've had people who are like you, who are like, oh, I don't like people who call themselves gamers because they play Call of Duty and Madden every year. And I'm like, you know what, if they play that one game and they do enjoy it, it's their prerogative. And it's the same hand, you have the people who play games all the time and it's like, oh, I don't like these people who play like these mini-game collections or these people who play Just Dance. And I'm like, at the end of the day, it doesn't really concern you what they play and enjoy.
Oh, no, yeah. I understand. It's very, like, it's very, for me, it's almost as close-minded as they are to judge them that way. But it's just, for somebody that's grown up with that stuff and for someone who's had such a wide variety of experiences, it's like, it makes me just more frustrated than anything for me to be like, oh my god, just like, branch out, like spend some time with Oblivion or something. There's so many good games out there.
Yeah, that does annoy me when people, you know, I hate when people call themselves quote unquote hardcore gamers and then you cut yourself off to a segment of the market.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're not really a hardcore gamer. Play a genre hardcore, but you're not really what they would call a dedicated gamer because you play first-person shooters. And even though that's a huge part of the market, you're still cutting yourself off from, like, 75% of the games that come out.
And I think that's what drives me nuts the most right there.
Yeah. Like, I once tweeted, I once went to the store, and I think I came back with and saved DJ Heroes 2 and something else. And I'm like, you know what, I don't care that these aren't, you know, like, one's a hardcore, quote-unquote hardcore game and one's a quote-unquote casual game. At the end of the day, it's a game to me, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the intention is, as long as I enjoy it, because I've had more fun with, like, Wii Sports than I did with Bioshock. Some people will say, oh, you can't really say that because, you know, Bioshock is this awesome AAA affair and Wii Sports is, like, some knockoff alpacan. But at the end of the day, it's what my experience with these two games were.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not,
I know people that hated Bioshock. I mean, I think they're crazy, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, hey, to each his own.
Yeah.
Today I learned that Earl is secretly a casual gamer.
Oh, I've always said I'm a huge casual gamer. That's a raw and fond casual gamer.
He doesn't even own an Xbox. He's lying.
I have a ton of classic crap in my house. I have the Wii Zapper. I have a whole Guitar Hero set. I have a DJ Hero's turntable. I have a Mario Party mic.
Basically, you have all the shit that Nintendo released and don't.
Well, no. DJ Hero and Guitar Hero are PS3 and 360 games.
Don't tell me you bought the Mario Kart wheel.
It comes with the Mario Kart.
Oh my god.
There's no bundle that comes without it.
Just put your Wiimote in a bagel and it's the same experience.
I get that. It's not like it was Mario Kart and Mario Kart with the wheel. It's Mario Kart with the wheel. No options in between. I'm a huge fan of mini game collections. I always have been. They're fantastic games. They're great party games to play with friends and stuff. Mario Party, Rayman, Fusion Frenzy, what else has been? I played Zenith, Box Office Smash on the Xbox. I played, you know, You Don't Know Jack. I have trivia games, and I have party games, and I have mini games. So, yes, I'm a casual gamer. Sue me.
Are you casual enough to play Connectables plus Bears?
Connectables plus Bears.
Is that the extent of your casualness, or does it, like, cut off right there? You're like, no, I will not. I refuse to play Connectables, no matter how cute those damn bears are.
I do not do Animal Raising Sims, pretty much since, like, Tamagotchi in junior high school. And I'm dating myself here, so.
It's Pokemon with better graphics. No, I'm kidding. It's not even remotely the same.
Tamagotchi.
There's no violence in Connectables, unfortunately.
Or Neopets in high school.
Try as hard as you want. You cannot punch your animal.
I can't make those fucking Connectables kill each other.
Fight over the food! Come on! It's one piece of meat. That's it. That's all there is ever.
Only
one can survive. Yeah. No, I don't know. But I don't...
If they do that.
That would be great. I think there's, I would buy
it. DLC packs, Microsoft. That's how you make Kinect appeal to the hardcore. Make those fucking Kinectables kill each other.
That would make them crunch.
That would be funny. But I wonder if that's going to actually even do well. You know, it's literally the same game plus bears. Like,
not, it's a DLC pack, so of course it is.
Oh, it's a DLC.
Oh, it is. Oh, I thought it was like a new, like, retail game. I was going to say, are you kidding me?
I mean, to tie this full circle again, it would be like Nintendo where you see Nintendogs again.
Oh, God. Terrible. Oh, God.
So,
Nintendo animals. That just sounds bad.
Now, get back on a 3DS track for a second. Because we kind of went off on a tangent. there's a lot of doom and gloom for Nintendo at the moment.
I tell you what was quite valiant of Nintendo over all this, though. It was taking a pay cut. A significant pay cut.
Yes,
10%. That was quite valiant. I have to salute Satoru Iwata for that.
Yeah, I wish more companies were kind of, we had executives who took responsibility.
If this was NOA, they'd just say, deal with it. Well, glad you got your price.
I assume Randy's
not giving you any games, no matter how much you want.
People were saying this, and I guess the thinking is, it's more forward thinking than backwards thinking, is that you don't want to, if your company's in a bad position, you don't want to do more risky procedures, because the thing with, like, Ilkaizen, like, the Astorian Xenoblade, is Ilkaization cost versus actual selling, and as we've seen, RPGs aren't really the hot thing on consoles this generation, and Wii software sales I've kind of showed, so it's kind of a risk-reward thing, where it's like, at this point, is it worth...
But if one of them is already localized in English...
Oh, yeah, but then it becomes like, you know, like, and this is a very American thing to do. We hate foreign things.
Yeah, but do you see the thing where those games are selling more in the US than they were in Japan?
Oh, no, what I meant by foreign things is I meant more like... Like, if we were to get Xenoblade right now, it'd have a bunch of British accents. And it's...
We'll have to see, because the Xenoblade in over here may not have British accents. It may have American voice actors in it.
No, it has British accents. There's footage of the British.
If anything, that would make it sell more, because you Americans are obsessed with British accents.
Oh, we totally are.
Obsessed with them.
I didn't say... We aren't, because you know how many British actors come over here and have to put on American accents in their movies for us to kind of accept that? And how many of us don't watch foreign films because we have to read?
Oh, God, that drives me nuts. Some of the best films I've seen, like Old Boy, which is from Korea, was a great film, but it's all subtitles. There's so many good movies out there that are like that.
So yeah, and I'm not speaking for everybody. There are people who I have that attitude at times too. It's like, I just don't want to sit here for 2 hours and read.
I guess I've just been in the mood lately to actually read stuff, because I'm out of school for now and for the summer. And I'm just like, I can feel my brain just turning to mush, and I'm like, oh no, I need something.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoy reading, but I don't want to sit there and watch a movie and read at the same time.
Oh.
And I do it from time to time, but it's not like something, oh, I'm going to go out of my way to watch a foreign film. It's like, you know, if somebody recommends it enough, I'll watch it or whatever. And they do turn out to be fun things, but as a whole, the society doesn't like subtitles, even though we're people grew up on anime and stuff like that, and you always have that debate about sub versus dubbed and stuff like that. So, I mean, we shall see. I lost my train of thought on the 3DS. I will say this. The whole doom and gloom thing about it, I understand why it's a risky move at this point, but one of the articles I read this weekend really pissed me off was the IGN article about how the 3DS is doomed based on history. And they presented the fact that the 3DS has a price cut around the same time as the Nintendo 64, I think the Virtual Boy and the GameCube, and how like those price cuts didn't really help them do anything in the long run. And on a basis that sounds like a reasonable comparison, but that's kind of a surface level comparison, and they went no further than that. Especially with the cases of the Nintendo 64 and the GameCube, where you had two or three competing consoles on the market at the time, which were much popular, there is no competition for the 3DS at this point because the PSV isn't out until sometime later this year. So if Nintendo plays their card right, they can probably mix this up as a second console launch. And I don't know if you've seen the commercials already, but they're kind of doing that in Europe with they have these. It's not the DS, it's the 3DS commercial.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things people were talking about was the brand confusion with the 3DS and the DS because they look so similar that people might think it's just a revision of the console, which I can potentially see. I honestly don't know anybody who thought like that, but, you know.
I don't know. Like, it seems there's actually something I've been reading on Destructoid. I was just kind of perusing the comments. And Jim Sterling put up an article asking, you know, is the 3DS a flop? And it's an interesting question. Like, what do you guys think? Is it a flop? Is it too early to tell, or is it a flop?
I think it's a flop. So far. Because the PS3 was a flop for a while, and Sony turned it around, and they did, I think they did a pretty good job of turning it around until, even during the PSN hack thing, people, there were people defecting, but there wasn't a mass exodus, like people were talking about. So, I think that, yes, it's a flop now, but Nintendo could turn it around. We just need fucking games.
I will say this much, and I will always give this benefit of the doubt to any console. It has not had a holiday season yet. I do not consider it a flop until it goes to a holiday season and it doesn't recoup sales. Again, as I pointed out, I think sales in general from the middle of the year tend to be flat. And launching the console during that time may be not the wisest decision. But if it goes through the rest of the year, and like especially November, December, and then it has no type of growth, and then I would consider it a flop. Right now, it's 4 months in the middle of a sale year with, as everybody points out, no major software releases. I don't consider it a flop. And it's still selling comparable to the DS at the same time in its life. And that had a holiday season when it launched.
I think the big thing I think everybody is really almost wants it to flop at this point because of just how lukewarm the reception was to begin with and how unsupportive they've really been regarding like the games. And as it's the same thing that happened with the PS3. Like everybody was super excited for it, and then everybody realized that the launch titles weren't that great and there wasn't that much to really get excited about for quite a while. And I think it's actually, look at the Kinect. The Kinect is almost synonymous with the 3DS at this point in their like cycles. Like everybody's like, oh, the Kinect, like the potential, oh my god. And then everybody's like, the 3DS, oh my god, the potential. And 5 months later, where are the games?
Yeah, I hope this is something Nintendo takes forward, is that the thinking with Nintendo was that we won't release any major software during the release schedule so that third parties can have their window, because the complaint you usually hear on Nintendo systems is that nobody can compete with Nintendo software, so they gave them an entire window of no major Nintendo software to compete.
It just seems like a bit like you're shooting yourself in the foot there, but
well, and that's kind of how it seems in hindsight, which is why I hope they take it forward with the Wii U. But that's kind of always been the problem. It's like I'm sure you've heard this with the Wii, the GameCube, the Nintendo 64, is that nobody can compete with Nintendo games, and so nobody tries. So Nintendo gives them this window to like, oh, you know, we'll put out a system, do your best, and then we'll come along later on and we'll give you. But I think what they need to do now is learn that you need to be there at the launch, get people onto your system, then give them a window. And they kind of have, I guess, tentpole games that kind of buoy the system. You know, like every 2 months or so, you release a major game so that people are reinvested into the console.
Let's just hope they turn it around, because, I mean, if this trend continues, that's going to be bad news.
I want Capcom to say, you know that decision that we made about not supporting the 3DS anymore? That was a bad idea. We made a mistake, and here you go, Wanyo. You can have 10 Phoenix Wright games in one go because we love you.
And then
I was gonna say, because Capcom also released their financial statements this week, and Resident Evil and Street Fighter actually met expectations, and I just saw that they're thinking of doing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Street Fighter Arcade Editions for the 3DS.
Yeah, they said that they were going to drop it, though.
I don't know. They might do that, but I think it really depends on.
Actually, no, they've got fighting franchises to milk, so.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll see. I mean, you know, again, it's always difficult to say, but Nintendo saying they've seen, you know, more support from third parties and retailers now that they dropped the price $80. And, we shall see. I mean, the thing is, for the most part, we actually won't know how this really benefits until, for 2 months. Because this will be August MPD, so this won't come out until
September,
October, really. And even then, it's, you know, like we'll start to see some in Japan, but even Japan kind of rebounded when they announced the new cards and that came out last week. And they've been more, you know, they've had better releases in Japan in general because they already up to like Star Fox and another game just came out this past week. And that was the other thing that I meant to mention is that as much as the hardware needed a price drop, I really think they should drop the price of the average software at like $30.
How much are they now? 50?
40.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's something like still dive for $10 a part when 3 hour games for $40 a thing.
No way. Yeah.
$20-$30, I think you kind of have people who are on the fence like, oh, you know, I can wing it, I'll try it out, you know. but $40 is kind of, it's the same thing with the consoles where you don't really want to invest $60 in that many games because it really, really has to be worth
it. You think it's bad there, right? Let's put it this way. When I picked up Pokemon Black, I paid $29.99 for it, right?
Right.
When I picked up Bulletstorm, I paid $39.99 for it.
So. Yeah, and but it's almost like $10 this week, I think, or something like that. I didn't check
you know,
it out.
And it's just ridiculous how over here, DS games, at full price, they're £10 less than a 360 game at full price.
Wait, wait, is £39.99? Is that?
Yeah, it's in pounds.
That's equivalent to $60?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
God damn, the inflation rate is, or the exchange rate is terrible. Oh my God.
But then they always get ripped off. I know one of the things with, especially I think the DS and I think the PSV, is that they don't have fixed prices.
No, the Nintendo did not state a price for the systems over here, so it's up to the retailers to basically have a war over who was going to sell it the cheapest.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, it's good and bad because there's no
but,
the cheap.
But now with this price cut, the price is expected to drop to £155, and yet you're going to get 3DSs for $170.
So, yeah.
And I assume that doesn't work out as
well. We end up paying more for it. We end up paying, I think it's $190 for a 3DS.
I'm an American. I don't pay attention to that. No, I'm just
So, yeah.
I was expecting to go, what's Britain?
Yeah, what's... wait, you mean there's other countries?
There are other countries in the world? Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. At this rate, we'll be joining you in like 2 days, so...
oh, dear.
So, yes. I mean, any final thoughts on the 3DS price cut?
Give me games, Nintendo, not price cuts.
Well, I think a price cut, I mean, the way they...
I would have bought 3DS Day 1 had they had the games.
I would always say, I love hearing Iwata speak. He seems like one of the most intelligent people in gaming to me. And his logic was that you kind of want a price cut ahead of major software so that people are kind of interested in it. And then when major software starts hitting... You don't want the price cut around the major software because then people are like, you know, it's kind of iffy, but now it's like, oh, it's 2 or 3 months of build up. And then it's like, oh, we get a major game. Granted, they shouldn't have another 2 or 3 months without a major release, but I honestly think the next major game is Star Fox, quote unquote. And that's not until September. So we shall see.
And they haven't given a window on when the early adopters are going to get these games.
They've been September 1st.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That was in the press release.
Okay. This is just me not paying attention.
That's not true.
That's not a window, I guess. We shall revisit this, I guess, when we do our fall preview show at the end of August. But for now, let's move on to, I mean, what you've been saying. And I would start with Adrian, but he actually can't tell us what he's been saying.
I can tell you what I've been playing. I can't tell you anything about it. Yeah, I have played Battlefield 3, and it's can't say, but it's definitely different from
Battlefield 3. Is a thing. That's basically what
it is. A thing. It exists. I have played it. That's all I can really say. But
you can shoot people and stuff like that. It's really, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, but I definitely will be giving some sort of video analysis slash different, you know, kind of thing whenever the alpha is over, because I think that the NDA actually ends once that's over. So whenever that happens, hoping it's soon so I can, you know, I'm really stoked.
I think it finishes today.
Does it really?
I was told it finishes today.
It finished, 10 minutes ago. Okay, no. perfect. Yeah, I don't know. I really wish I could talk about it, but I can't for, you know, I value my YouTube channel enough to not be like, here's alpha footage, like, you know, because they've been actually closing quite a bit of channels for that. And I don't blame them, because it is alpha.
God forbid should EA get free publicity.
Yeah, right.
The only reason I would be against it is potentially is that since it's alpha, that it may be a little rough around the edges, and people may use that as a final judgment.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're worried about. And I can understand why. That's all I can say.
Well, from what I've heard,
you can talk about it.
because I haven't signed any NDAs. From what I've heard, there isn't going to be much chance of people seeing it being rough around the edges and going, this is shit, I'm not going to play this game. That's all I'm going to say. That's from what I've just heard.
Well, this is
the point where EA sends me a letter tomorrow with a cease and desist.
Yeah, and they're just like, hey, buddy, we don't want you talking about our games. They're going to be good because...
And I'll just write back and say, sorry, EA, I won't. Even though I hate you, I won't promote your products ever again.
Unlike you, I'm in a beta, so technically I still can't talk about it, but at the end of the day, they can't really do anything to me.
Yeah,
so
you're okay.
I've been playing Killzone 3 beta.
Wait,
you mean
what?
Resistance 3?
Resistance 3, there we go.
I was going to say, isn't that game out already?
I know I always joke about it. I honestly don't know the difference between those two games.
here's an easy one, right? The one with the more color in it, well, it may be just a slight amount of color, but it's still got more color in it, is Resistance 3. And Killzone 3 is the one with the big black guys who sound like Darth Vader with the yellow eyes.
The one with Killzone 3 is the one with that really, really obnoxious, like, Puerto Rican guy. His name's Rico. Oh, my God.
Killzone 3 is the one where the big burly guys shout at you and you can't understand what they're saying. It's on the PS3, because the Xbox 360 one is Gears of War.
And, I was going to say, how is that different from Gears of War?
And Resistance 3 is the one where people talk at you.
That's right.
Well, yes, I am playing Resistance
3. And one of them is the one where the aliens invade the Earth and you've got to save...
small difference.
I don't know what to say. But, because one's alien invading and one's aliens have already invaded or something like that.
I'm taking notes right now, guys, because I really, you know, I need to keep these...
I think one of them's on the PlayStation 3 as well.
Yeah.
might be a first-person shooter.
So I got into the Resistance 3 beta. And I always feel bad when this happens. Well, I don't feel bad. But I always find it funny because, you know, there's much, much more hardcore, diehard PlayStation fans than I can ever be. And I always end up getting into these things. Like, I got into Uncharted and SOCOM and MAG and all this other stuff. And it's like some of these diehards never do. Or, like, I think this one was attached to... Is this... No. Damn, which game did Sony attach this to? Was it Infamous? I thought Infamous was Uncharted.
Didn't they attach it to Battle LA on Blu-ray?
But they attached it to something.
All right, so the difference between Uncharted 2 and Resistance 3 is one... No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I got into the Friends of Family beta, which, you know, I think the other people get in like August 4th or whatever. So it's not many people, which is always an issue with, you know, online games is when you can't find a game. It kind of gets annoying, but it has a very arcadey feel to it. Which is, you know, it's different than most other shooters on the market, which is kind of nice. It's a little hokey at times. There's a huge issue with ag, but some of them, I think, because one of the guys, I think his name is like Stevenson or whatever. He's like, you know, he's like the community manager or whatever. He's usually on like NeoGAF. discussion, and I guess some of it's a technical issue that they're working out. And this has always been an issue I've had with Sony betas, and we've mentioned this on the show before, is that technically they're more like extended demos because none of the stuff you do in the beta actually makes it to the final game. Usually you get this huge day one patch instead, and that's what they're going to do with this game.
See, I like that though. Like, betas, I think every single big, good, you know, hyped up multiplayer shooter needs to have a beta. I mean, because when you have, like, look at Gears of War 2. I mean, let's be honest. Like, that game, I was so excited for that game. I was so excited. You know, Cliffy B's like,
holy crap, the lag on that game at the start.
Yeah, it was so, yeah. And I remember, like, I sent a tweet to the community manager, like, day one. And I was like, is the matchmaking supposed to take 20 minutes? And they were like, yeah. He didn't even respond. I was guessing, you know, he's being inundated by just a ton of similar tweets, but
I don't think they were similar when it comes to Twitter. It's more like, hey, fuck you, I can't play fucking game.
I spent $60 for this fucking game. Yeah, like, yeah, it was, I mean, but if they had a beta, and I mean, even with Gears 3, you know, there were some, it was a much better, you know, it's amazing that the beta of Gears 3 launched smoother than
the funny thing
the
is, I've never had an issue with a Microsoft run beta, ever.
Yeah, me neither. It's amazing.
well, that's what I meant. It's like, I think that how Microsoft does it, where Gears had a beta in May, and the game comes out in November. That means they can implant the changes.
Yeah, plenty of time to do it. Like, people that are doing the beta 1 month before, like, what are they really going to glean?
Yeah, that's what Sony does, is that, because Resistance is out in September, so the beta finishes, I guess, you know, sometime mid-August, so it's kind of like, instead of like, oh, we're going to have these changes in the final game, it's like, oh, it's going to be a day one patch, which is okay, I guess, but you always run into that issue of, one, it's annoying as hell, especially if you own a PS3, you know how this goes, to start a game and to have this huge patch that you have to install, because it takes away your momentum. Like, I downloaded it, it's like a gig and a half client. I downloaded it. I get ready to start it up. It's a gig and a half patch that I have to do for the beta. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I never understood that. I mean, I bought a PS3 for Uncharted 2, going back to that buying a game, and then I sold it literally like after I beat Uncharted 2. But,
how it worked out for me, funnily enough.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, it's a great game. Okay, bye. And, I mean, I remember playing the game, and I remember just being like really excited. And then I was like, "Wait, I have to install this. I literally have to install this game."
Yeah, that's the mandatory install.
I was just blown away by the fact that, you know, load times were still, you know, not like, it wasn't like they were loading from the hard drive. It was just kind of like, well, in order for this game to run, it needs to be installed. And I was just, I mean, that infrastructure doesn't really make sense to me. I mean, if you're gonna have a disc-based console, and you're going to be running from the disk, use the hard drive to stream data. You shouldn't have to have like a 25-minute install. And yeah,
that's
it's one
point.
Time.
That's why, deal, that's why you have to do a mandatory install. Sony have put slow-as-shit Blu-ray drives in the PS3.
Oh, that's right. They're like 1X, I believe. Like the retail.
I think it's 2X.
Super slow. Yeah, super slow.
I don't think it's. I think it was in their intentions, but
it's a cost-cutting method. That's all it was.
I was going to say, it's kind of, cost cutting at $600.
Yeah, really. $599. But
I was going to say, it's more to do with the fact that Blu-ray was kind of a new medium at the time, and they really wanted to push it.
Well, nowadays, it doesn't stop them putting faster, nothing's stopping them apart from the cost cutting. You know,
Cost-cutting, and probably the fact that it will probably, I'm assuming that they fix something, it's going to end up breaking a whole lot of older games and systems for people.
Yeah.
Well, you're just going to get faster installs.
Yeah, I'm assuming that not even faster installs, I guess, but I'm assuming like there's going to be a problem where like certain games won't be able to run on this faster drive for X, Y, Z reason or whatever. Because that usually seems to always be the problem. It's like you fix one thing and like 10 other things break on the side.
Yeah, it's kind of like where Microsoft was like, oh yeah, if you buy the 4 gig console, you kind of need to have a bigger hard drive in order to play Halo Reach. You know, because you actually need a 20 gig at least, I think, for the game to stream from the hard drive. So, you know, if people are going to be, oh, I can't wait to buy Halo, and then they buy that, like, $200, like, slim Xbox, and they're like, wait, what's this? I can't play Firefight, you know?
Yeah.
That would kind of piss me off. I would definitely feel like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath me. So, I mean, I can see where Earl's coming from, but at the same time, I think if it's just a hardware upgrade, you know, it's kind of like putting wireless in the new Xboxes. It's like, let's just save people money, you know, let's just make things a little bit less annoying for them, and let's just add features and not really bug anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, why it doesn't really directly affect any games? I'm thinking more like there's gonna be some issue where like, some games won't be able to be read by the faster thing. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but I just know from history that usually when you do something like this, that there's always that one or two games that somehow get bunked along the way.
Right. Yeah.
And that happens to be the game that everybody owns now. It's gonna be like My Little Pony Adventure 2, and it's gonna be like, crap, I can't play My Little Pony Adventure 2 anymore.
And there's an adamant following, of course, that's like really pissed off about it, and they make themselves.
I hate you all for bringing up My Little Pony, by the way.
Yeah.
God damn it! Can't escape that fucking far.
I didn't even know if there's a My Little Pony game, so you know, don't judge me.
Hey, I have played Barbie Horse Adventures legitimately, and it is. Don't ask me how. My sister
bought
it.
I'm leaving. You all have terrible taste in video games.
I was going to ask more. Like,
I enjoyed it thoroughly, I must say. No, I'm just kidding.
Why did you pay?
My sister bought it for Xbox, and I was...
I saw it in GameStop for 50 cents, and I was curious, he said. I picked up Gaelic Games Football because it was cheap, and I'm not going to go into that.
Oh, geez. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, what I really think it'd be a really compelling YouTube channel if somebody were to just go into GameStop and pick up just the shittiest looking game they can find and then just, you know, do a live commentary while they play it and just be like,
I picked up Gaelic Games Football.
You need to do that.
There is a YouTube channel that did that, because that's where I saw like somebody covered, there's a game on the week called Redneck Triathlon.
Really?
Yes.
Redneck Triathlon.
Yeah, because I used to work around the corner from a GameStop, and I would just go there during my lunch break, because you get an hour to eat, and usually most people don't take an hour to eat. So I'd go there and I would just peruse the walls and I would just check out the most random games. And honestly, if I had the money for it, I would love to do that on the site, is just buy a bunch of bad games and bash them down.
I bet you really could just go on Amazon and spend less than like $10. I really bet you could if you really wanted to do it. And I really don't think I would be able to justify spending less than $10 on a game.
And that's the thing, it's like with movies, I don't mind, because like, you can find a bad movie on Netflix and you can kind of stream that, and you can mock it. But when you actually have to pay out of pocket, that's when it kind of is like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Do I really want to mock Redneck Triathlon?
That was a Chipotle, yeah, exactly. Like something like, God, I'm such a California kid now that I realize you guys probably don't even have Chipotle. I'm sure Waniel doesn't, and I don't know about Earl, but.
I have Chipotle.
Oh, I love Chipotle. But that's off topic.
I don't even know what that is, so.
It's a burrito place.
It's like the fat, it's, do you have Subway?
Yes, we have Subway.
Okay, it's like the Subway of Mexican food, legitimately.
Oh, dude.
But it's amazing.
There's a series of trucker of redneck games.
Calvin Spitter's Redneck Jamboree. That woman on the cover looks straight up like the spitter from Left 4 Dead 2. Oh my god.
Brilliant.
Oh my goodness. I could get $2.40 of Amazon credit if I traded this copy of the,
Then you'd have to admit to Amazon you own the game.
Yeah, they sent me an email saying, what were you thinking?
So, Daniel, have you been playing anything?
Does the Naked Gun trilogy count? Because that's all I've been doing, is watching Naked Gun.
Sure.
I haven't been playing any new video games, because I have no money whatsoever, and there are no new releases whatsoever.
I guess we can talk about the rest of the news. There's really not much. Because like I said, the 3DS thing took up most of it. There's no game reset thing for Pac-Man Giga Generations, which at this point it's becoming more the norm than the exception for the 3DS.
If they adopt it for any of the games I plan on buying, they probably won't end up releasing on the 3DS because they're coming from Capcom anyway. If they adopt these things, I'm going to be pissed off.
I like how we have a Capcom, you know, hater and a Capcom lover in the same... thing.
Well, I want a Phoenix Wright game, and I'm not going to get it.
I mean, if you think he hates Capcom, you should hear him rant on EA.
I can't hate on, I don't know why, but I would much rather hate on Activision than EA right now, especially after playing Battlefield 3.
See, I can't, I honestly, and I hate doing it, and I end up, I have no beef with Activision. I think a lot of people have problems with Activision partially because of Call of Duty.
Oh yeah.
And outside of that, the rest of their business model isn't, I mean, it's not the greatest, but they don't really do anything more or as evil than any other corporation in video gaming at this point.
Yeah, I guess I just really hate Bobby Kotick. Like, I hate him
and
so much.
I think that's the best thing, is that it's like you kind of have a face to pick on, so people kind of scapegoat.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he isn't a terrible, terrible person, but he has a businessman mentality when it comes to video games, which is kind of, it is a business, and I think people sometimes forget that at the end of the day, if a company's not making money, even if you enjoy their games, they're not going to continue making games after a while.
Yeah,
we've seen that time and time again. This generation, there's a ton of great developers who went under. Assassin's Creed Ember was announced, which is a CG Assassin's Creed movie. I don't know if either of you seen the trailer for that.
I haven't, but I think CG is the way to go.
The live action stuff wasn't that great.
It means that Ubisoft pretty much get free reign of it, and they don't have to be bogged down by who are we hiring as an actor, and what if they don't like this person, and because they could just easily just copy it. They could just say to the guy who voices Ezio, you're playing Ezio in this now.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if you've seen the trailer. I'm not a huge Assassin's Creed person, so I honestly don't know where it fits as far as the timeline.
I'm not an Assassin's Creed person either, but I just think it's a good idea on Ubisoft to make it CG.
It's a good idea on paper, but we've seen that with Resident Evil Degeneration, and we've seen it with Advent Child, that it doesn't necessarily make for a good movie.
I actually watched that.
I've seen both of them.
I'm so sorry.
So, it's great. They're recovering from the Spirits Within, so it is that.
How about the Tekken movie? I don't know how you're even like, I would just be totally jaded for life on movies in general after seeing those three.
You see, I guess, at the end of the day, I don't, you know, I have fun with it, which is partially why I drink.
forget it all.
I honestly can't remember much from the Tekken movie now. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. I can have fun with bad things the same way I can have fun with good things if you go in expecting that. I've always said I'd rather take something bad than boring. And, you know, bad's kind of still memorable. Because as much as people hate it, I'm almost certain that everybody I know could quote it from Batman and Robin, just because it's so bad it's memorable. Where, like, I'm assuming most people wouldn't really quote, like, the Wild Wild West.
Oh.
So, there you go. Which I need to finish watching, actually. and speaking of the Wild Wild West, I actually... Netflix released some data this week. Well, not Netflix, Nelson. About the usage of Netflix on the three major consoles. And surprisingly enough, it broke down that the console with the most use of Netflix is the Wii with 25% of usage, then the PS3 with 13%, and the 360 with 12%.
I think it's easy to say that, I think it's down to install base, and then the 360 is last simply because you need fucking gold.
Yeah, I think that's the... I mean, 12 and 13% is really a minute difference.
Oh, it is, but I think that the reason why 360 is last because you need a sub for a sub.
Yeah, yeah.
You need a subscription to use a subscription. I mean, what the fuck?
I always thought that was stupid, especially when the PS3 and the Wii offer it for free. It's kind of... But, you know, Microsoft has always used it as, oh, look, this is why you pay for gold, because you get these features like this or who does or...
Yeah, you get to use things that you can use for free everywhere else, which is Facebook and Twitter. And you get to pay for a subscription. You have to pay for a subscription to use a subscription you're already paying for every month. Brilliant. God, I've said this many times. The only reason why I still have Xbox Live Gold is because I actually have friends who use their Xbox 360.
And that's why it's a very great system for Microsoft. Is at the end of the day, nobody, you know, it's always going to be like, I want to play this game with my friends, and you know, you're going to do it. You're going to invest that whatever amount you pay for it, 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks. So yeah. It is what it is. I still pay for it just because of that reason. I almost still play Halo Reach almost every day. I still, you know, I still kind of, I actually prefer Netflix on the 360, especially since the PS3 changed its user interface recently, and that's just ugly. And the Wii doesn't do HD, so it never made any sense for me to watch it on that. So yeah, there you go. So, final thoughts for this week.
Give me games, Nintendo.
I think
new games.
Let's just say at this point, anybody can give you games. Nobody's released anything
recently.
I guess before we go, I could plug my I can plug several stuff. Adrian, I stole his video and posted on the website. Can Halo 4 succeed without Bungie?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know,
I need to read that one.
It's a video, so you don't have to read it.
Oh, okay. I'll have to watch it.
I was about to say, at the same time, he also...
I agree with, I'm going to slam him to hell, and I'm going to tell him to die, and he needs to slit his own throat, and I'm going to... cut him.
He's actually pretty decent at Halo Reach as well, apparently, according to that video, but I assume he also tries to get the best parts, and getting murdered several times.
No, yeah. No, that was a consistent game. I've been a long-time Halo player, so that was definitely not spliced together to make me look good.
Uh-huh.
I have the film. You can see it.
You went like 25-1.
Yeah, I did some really clever Photoshop work. That's it.
Yeah, it is, Dad. I posted yesterday I've been doing my State of Gaming feature yesterday to the State of Xbox. And it's basically the same stuff I've always talked about on here, where like Microsoft is in a good position now, but they really don't plan for long-term success as far as like building their franchises and actual studio houses to make games that aren't
and controller-based games. It seems to be a lack of those. I don't give a fuck about those anymore.
I, as I said before, I'm a huge advocate of motion-based gaming. So I'm okay with that. I think they kind of, you know, like it's the games where they try to walk the line that end up looking awful, like Fable and so
on. Oh, that looks so bad.
So, yeah, I mean, you can check that out. And if you're on M4G, somehow that turned into a discussion about which sell more, PS3 or 360. I'm not sure how.
That's why I stopped putting my stuff up on there, is because I really cannot stand the people on M4G. They're so obnoxious.
Oh, it's an awful site, but at the end of the day, when you're running a site, it's also one of the best avenues to kind of get your brand out there.
Oh, yeah, I agree, but it's...
necessary evil. Yeah. So for the most part, you just post my stuff and I never look at it.
Just like, come to my site, check it out, I really don't care what you do after that.
Yeah, it's pretty much, because it's like, you know, you can usually see, like, you get, like, a, you know, 300-500 hit bump if you have an article on M4G, and if it's one of the top... I'm never going to get a top story, because in order to get a top story, you'd have to break a huge Sony story, make a really huge article bashing Sony, praising Microsoft.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you'll be top front page, guaranteed.
I'm going to have an article where Kiffy Beat says something negative about the PS3.
Oh, my God.
You need to go through his Twitter feed, right? Take something that's fairly vague, make a wild assumption based on it, then post it.
Okay, that reminds me, and this isn't something that's necessary just for N4G, but in general, I honestly hate this idea of sensationalist headlines that video game sites use, where they'll take one abstract quote or mention, and that's the focus of the article.
It's so, you can tell it's a slow news day when that's going on.
Twitter is not news.
Thank you.
It's like people just take these little things and they twist it around for any little thing, and it just drives me nuts. And I kick on the link and it's like, what does your title have to do with what you wrote in this article?
Yeah, I agree. It's getting to be pretty much like yellow journalism from like the 50s and 60s, or I can't, it's just bad.
And I think, I mean, it's kind of what all video games, and I understand why, it's because, you know, you want that, headline. Like, for example, this just came up the dockets, is that people hire, you know, Microsoft is hiring people for 343 Industries. And there's a thing on it, and then the second thing somebody takes from it is that one of the people's from Retro, so it's like senior game designer on Metroid Prime, and Donkey Kong Country Return needs Retro to join its software. And it's like, oh, I guess this is somebody else, but yeah. Anyhow, check out can Bungie can Halo 4 succeed without Bungie, and the state of Xbox Live, I mean Xbox Gaming in 2011. And for Adrian and Daniel and myself, this has been Bootloading in episode 41.
Yeah.
Take it easy, guys.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Bobby girl in the Bobby world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.